Hello.
Hello.
Block
Hello.
Talk
Hello, how
Radio.
y'all doing tonight?
All right, go ahead. Y'all got it.
Well, good evening.
Good
Thanks for coming
evening.
out. Happy to have you. Who am I speaking with?
I'm speaking with everybody, but go ahead and what you gotta do. I'm put everybody on mute. Go ahead and talk and start the program.
Okay.
Esther Limerick on the line tonight. Okay.
Well, the topic that I want to discuss tonight is all of this talk that I've been hearing all day and the outrage around the statement that Kanye West made about slavery being a choice for black people in America. Now, I've listened to his TMZ interview, the 12-minute version that's on YouTube, and I listened very detailedly to both sides. And the takeaway from the message that I received is this: the young man is extremely confused about a lot of things, about many things. There is some admitted drug abuse and drug addiction. There's some admitted society pressure and peer pressure admitted by Mr. West. And there was an interview that he gave where he made the statement linking himself to President Donald Trump and wearing the cap that says, "Make America Great Again," and Kanye West voicing his opinion about Donald Trump and former president-elect Barack Obama. And if anyone has heard any of these interviews or listened to any of the videos or heard anything or discussed anything with anyone around this subject, I would love to hear back from you, would love to get your opinion on the state of not only the comment that Mr. West made, but the backlash from the African-American community and others, not just African-American people that are upset and outraged by the statement, and also your opinion about not the state of racism in 2018 as to how black people are portrayed still in movies and in music, how we are viewed in business, and what we face on the day-to-day, day-in, day-out level when it comes to racism through the authorities and treatment in the courts, and even treatment in job qualifications, university acceptance, high school graduations among black males versus black women, and acceptance into Ivy League colleges or historically HBCUs. Black universities. Please call in. Let me know what you think. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. Let's talk.
My brother, you have a great to be talked about. And I see one or two people on the line, and I can we talk? Now, one of the issues that serves me more is, why would this man have a conversation? Right, somebody got something to say. Hello? Hello?
Anyone out there?
I see four people. Let's keep talking, brother.
Excuse me. As I listened to the article, when I listened to the video, and I was watching Mr. West as he spoke, not only was he extremely disturbed, this guy was all over the place. He was apologizing. He was asking for love. He was asking each other to love one another. At one point, the gentleman that spoke out against his comments. He went over to embrace the gentleman, to apologize for hurting him with his comments and his words. And it was something that was very, very sad to watch, to see this young man, Mr. West, in the state that he's in. That being said, is there an acceptance or an excuse or a tolerance for his statement to be made about slavery and about African-American people that he made? Is there any acceptance for that? Is there any tolerance? Should there be any acceptance or tolerance for such a statement to be made? And how does that statement reflect us as a people at this time on the world scale, on the stage where the world is seeming to shrink, that social media has brought us closer together and gave us insight and access into other countries and other communities and other opinions around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this statement is now made in 2018 about an atrocity that is just unforgivable. For that statement to even be on the tongue of any person, let alone a black man in the United States of America. That's my opinion about it.
Well, you know, I've been listening to this program that he has on, and they're talking about it was by choice. Slavery is not by choice. It's not by choice. Somehow he had to be put there. Now, when we go back and read the Bible and see what happened to the children of Israel, slavery was not by choice. It was by a command of Pharaoh. Pharaoh decided to put them under slavery. He put them under slavery because they found out that they had multiplied. So, Lord was about to take over. See, what is happening today, my brother, and my sisters are listening out there, the enemy of darkness come along. And he challenges us with words like that. Words that will start a lot of foolishness. Words that will start a lot of stupidity. And a lot of the black men today supposed to be on the radio station, I've asked them many times, but they don't show. So I'm beginning to understand, where are my black men in Houston? Where are they? Why don't they want to be a part of? Let me know something so we can move forward. I'm the man that believes this way. If God said it in his word, we can overcome. I believe we can. It doesn't have to be a differential, but it has to be with common sense, with an understanding of what God has said. And when we take our time, because we're living in a time right now where some people don't want to talk, but they want to get on Facebook and do everything but what they want to do. But they want to get on Facebook and do something to talk about and show their body parts and talk about happy birthday and all that stuff. Give some WRD gossip. Give me something to work with. My brother, I'm going to say this to you. Can we talk? Where is McGowan? Where is Brother Campbell? Why are those brothers? Can we talk? We have a conversation that intrigues. And I tell you this much, and I say with love in my heart, a lot of men are controlled by the whims of their wives and won't take the time to say, come on, baby, let's go do this together. When a woman controls a man cannot understand what's going on with him. I say that because I saw myself one day in my life when I was a young man. I said, no, ain't going to do that. Ain't going to work that way. You're going to have to come on and be on my side so we can work together. See, my brother, when God said he put it in order, he put it in order. Anybody else got something to want to say? Hello? Hello? Go ahead, my brother. My brother, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to you, doctor. I agree with what you're saying. We have to take accountability according to the word of God, not according to essence, and I have no problem with essence. not a problem, not according to Oprah Winfrey, and I don't have a problem with Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that the word of God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one dot or tittle of his word will pass without being fulfilled. Not one. And we have to understand that when you have an opportunity given to you by God, it doesn't matter who was against you. It doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what anyone else believes. Because at the end of the day, the word of God is all that's going to stand.
Amen. Anybody else got something want to say? Anybody else? Anybody else? What I want to say is, I know a lot of men, and I say this from a standpoint, a lot of men in the day we now live in, as I was saying this morning, what are the men? Most of the men have left their home. They're running behind drugs is running them. Homosexuals running them. Do we pray for them? Yes, we do. God is love. But we can't make nobody do something they don't want to do. I know, understand the scripture verbatim. When God says these words, he said, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Well, the works of the Lord, including some of those people, got to be set free. Some of those people's minds have got to be set free. It's not so much we're trying to put them into a box. We're trying to get them out of the box so they can get out of the box and see the big scenery. I tell people, if you want to see the earth, if you want to see the earth at night, go to a place where there is no light in the city at night, because all God has. Somebody put it on mute. Please put it on mute. And so what God is saying to us, and I say on here, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That's what we're trying to give some people the water to understand where we drink it from. We drink from the vine, the true vine. But the water that I shall give him shall be as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's God's life living in us. Now, some people say, well, I'm not about to beat it, about to boom, boom, boom. No, we're living in a day and time right now where the word of God is active. But we got to get some people. A lot of the pastors in this area don't want to do nothing. A lot of the apostles want to do nothing. They don't want to do nothing. But they don't want to do. I talked with some the other day, it hurt in my heart. I love him very much. I'm not going to call his name, but he said, I wasn't called to do that. Well, what happened to God said, go you therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, laying hands on the sick. Well, when we come lay hands on your sick, no, we don't do that at our church. What do y'all do at y'all church? Do y'all have a bunch of homosexuals, a bunch of lesbians, a bunch of thieves, a bunch of rock? See, I go to a church where there's a life where people have committed murder, homosexuality, thievery, thuggery, lying, cheating. But God stood up and he said, all of my sins have been forgiven because the sins have been forgiven. So I hope I'm saying something that some people understand. I'm over the line of anybody else. I want to ask somebody, can we talk? Can we talk? Can we talk? Well, my brother, you and I have seen that we don't want everybody else. But I want to say this to you.
Praise the Lord. All I know is our Lord is coming back soon. And I know that he's talking to us. And he says in his word in the book of Amos chapter 3, he says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? And what that means, we are not seeing signs and wonders and miracles in this day and time, because most of us don't be on one accord with one another. And since we're not on one accord with one another, then no miracles going to take place. If we want to see miracles take place as they did in the day of the Lord, then we got to do like they did the day of Pentecost. they were on one accord, and because they was on one accord, the miracles took place. So I'm saying tonight, that's where I am. I'm seeking for people who wants to do what the Bible says, understand what the Bible says, and be watching and waiting for him. So that's what I have to say tonight. Hello?
Yes, we're here. We're listening to you, sister. We're listening.
Okay.
We're listening.
Yes. And so all I'm saying tonight is you spoke earlier. Yes, we're going to love one another. We're going to love the ones that haven't come into the realization of who he is. But we don't have to be partaker with them. If we're trying to reach Jesus, tell them the truth and move forward. Take up thy bed and walk. Because if not, they will hinder you.
Well, one of the things I would ask tonight is this. When we see what God is saying, see, when people see you getting blessed, my sister, some people get jealous, even in the body of Christ. They get jealous. Why is she talking about she got healed of her bladder? See, but they didn't come out of him, so it made it appear that they're God.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right about that?
You're right. See, what it is, people, they have a zeal of God. They want to do these great things, but they don't want to sacrifice, okay? They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They don't want to stop drinking coffee or something for a month or so. They don't want to do what they did in the day of Pentecost. They want to just do exactly what the world is doing and then expect God to move in their lives. Same way with the women of God, praise the Lord. And I'm not saying this about anybody, but just like I posted it on the Facebook, and I'm not calling no name, but it's the prophet on the Facebook. She wants to look just like the people of the world. In other words, why would I go out there and buy all these cut up, stripped up rougies that look like the world? Look like the holy woman of God you are. Why you wanna look like the world? I don't wanna look like the world. I wanna look like a queen, because I am a queen. And all I'm saying tonight, let us follow the Holy Spirit. Don't follow the what they wearing. People are saying in a minute, if you tell a Christian that, they'll just say, oh, well, that's just the style now. It could be the style, but why should I join the style? Can we talk?
There are a lot of people in this life, my sister. You and I are past 60. We understand. See,
okay.
This world I live in, people don't see it the way you and I see it. They see it
right.
That way. They know more about politics. They know more about the technological arena. They know about
right.
This and about that. But what we're saying tonight, can we talk to find out why this black man said what he said? What do you know? Because all of a sudden, he raised millions and billions of dollars. All of a sudden, he decided, we're living a black and with a understanding. It was a choice that we made. No, we didn't make no choice.
Right, we didn't make no choice.
We didn't make
the
choice.
Like you said, Dr. Hunter, if some things I'd be quiet on, if I don't know the details of something, I'm not going to speak about it. So this guy that y'all talking about, see, I don't know nothing about him. I think you're talking about this guy. He's a he was a rapper or something like that.
Ma'am, say it again.
Was he a rapper?
Yes, he was a rapper.
Okay, back in what? See, I don't know too much about him. That's what I'm saying. So I can't voice anything tonight other than what was said about slavery. You know, I know that slavery, it came in years ago. And we know that God didn't want us in that, tied down to no bondage like that. So in this decade and time, we are not there. And God has destroyed those yokes, and we have to believe that, and we have to continue to present to our younger generation the goodness of God and not so much about racism, because then we're going to continue to have it in every generation. That's my thoughts for tonight.
Well, see, every generation, from generation to generation, the Bible says something's going to get weaker and wiser.
Right.
And so that's what happened today. They're getting weaker and wiser. Because
yes.
They're weak, they're forgetting about God. The only thing they want right now is, can you, will you, why don't you? I just got through discussing this with my grandson going to school. He wants to go, he made a promise he want to go to his school. And all of a sudden, he want to change his mind. And I said, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
That's the agreement we had. You come me out of that one. See, you have to be sure-footed. Don't be
right.
A part of what you have to say. I told myself, no, if you want to do it, that's your business, not mine. And I mean it. If that's what you want to do, that's what you do. And
yeah.
I want you to know, I'm going to help you. But if you done told me what you want to do, I'm going to invest some money into you, and all of a sudden
right.
You change my mind. No, I changed my mind also.
Yeah.
Because I met a young man that walked away from home. He said, I want all that I got. I've already given you all I'm going to give you. Now you're going to have to go out there and suffer for yourself. And sometimes our young people they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand what's going on. But it takes you hours to let them know.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. The wake-up call is to us, too, the elders, okay? The wake-up call is this. I know you have seen it and noticed it, that this generation, they're not concerned about what the Bible told us to do. Now, I'm talking about leaving a heritage back here for your children and children, like grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm going to tell you, Dr. Hunter, this generation don't want nothing you have. Nothing you have but your money. That's all they want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want nothing else. I see it every day with my own eyes. And so we're struggling, and oh, I want to lead this to John and Jack and Jody and whoever, and they don't even want it. Some of them are in other states. They will even come down to get it. So you better put your money in kingdom work, because this generation is something else. They don't want it. Now, if it's money, yeah.
Well, okay. Let me ask this question to our brother. Brother, are you still there? Are you still there, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Well, the one question I hear what we're discussing so far, I know that we have some real issues in our neighborhoods, and particularly the black neighborhood. Now, as we've been talking, when we talk, many times there are a lot of people that want what they want. They don't want to come into the fullness of it. And when you come to the fullness of what's going on, you have to give in. And sometimes I found this out of my own self, that a lot of young people, they don't want to do what is suggested or brought out. But like the brother said, you are of you're the seed. We black men carry the seed. And there are a lot of people have lost. We lost Fifth Ward, Third Ward, Fourth Ward, because the seed was there, but nobody took the audacity, Acres Home. Nobody in the black community. Everybody took the same idea. I got mine, you get yours. And see, that's what bothers me in the life we now live. Now, help me out, somebody, on that one. Somebody help me out on that one. Can you help me out, brother?
Yes, sir, I can. I can help you out on that one. The reason that the topic is what it is tonight, about the statement that was made, everything you just said is encompassed in that statement. And we as a people have to understand that it's not about racism in and of itself. It's not about our economic. It's not about our young people leaving and not coming back. It's all of it together. It's all of it.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a young man who is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, largely in part of his upbringing, his community, and his initial fan base, that
mm-hmm.
made him this multimillionaire, and you have the audacity to have a thought in your heart that 400 years of oppression in slavery plus another 200 plus years
mm-hmm.
of the oppression going through the civil rights movement, going through the Jim Crow, going through separate but equal, going through all of the racism and all of the KKK and everything else that has happened to black people in this country, going through Black Lives Matter, going through just flat-on assassination of our children and men and women in the streets by law enforcement officers, all of this stuff is directly connected to the opinion that was uttered out of this young man's mouth. Because if this is how we will speak of ourselves, how do we expect anybody else to speak better? Why should we speak of anyone else to treat us better if this is what we're going to say about ourselves? How many Jewish people are walking around saying out in the air that the Holocaust was the Jews' fault? Or the Jews went through that by choice? How many? And we as a nation of black people cannot just sit and let these type of things just go without putting them in check and making sure every single person on the face of the earth understands what we believe and what we will do if this type of situation is constantly uttered about our people and our history in this country. The jobs will continue to be harder. The education will continue to be more difficult. We will get more young men and women incarcerated. It's not slowing down. It's increasing. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. We're not graduating more doctors. We're imprisoning more young men. It has to change, and it changed with us first. Because if we don't show that we care about us, no one else will. And we have proof that no one else would take our defense if we don't take it for ourselves. And I'm not speaking of the Caucasians and the Asians and the Hispanics that have fought alongside us. I'm not speaking about individuals. I'm speaking about racists in total that have just decided that they're going to suffer the same plight that black men and women are suffering in this country and give up everything else that they decide to give up on our behalf. I don't expect that from any other race. And I do expect us to stand up and fight for what God has given us. But if we are going to constantly let these type of statements be made and let a president of the United States applaud the guy who makes the statement, knowing he's racist himself, and we just sit back and like, okay, we have nothing to say about it? No, we have to say something. We have to make it known.
We have to let it be known.
We have to act. We have to act on that situation and let everyone know, not just black men and women, young black men, young black women. We have to let everybody know that this is unacceptable. No matter who mouth it comes out of, it's unacceptable. And we're not going to stand for it, and we're not going to tolerate it. Until we take offense, we shouldn't expect anyone else to.
Amen. But you know, the one thing that I would say in addition to the conversation, I've come through the time in my life where I've seen some hard things I don't even want to describe to some people because they don't have a full understanding what it means in my day and time, 70 plus years, when a man said, "You need to get out of my store." When I've had to chop cotton, I've had to cut corn, go to the fields and work. I've had to do everything. But my education comes from the mere fact that I want to see what's on the other side of the river. Because the more I got up higher, the more I had to use some wisdom. Many times the people in our lives don't want to take time to hear what the elders have to say to them. But as a sister, we're trying to be more in the Bible, and more in the Bible, it brings us to a closeness walk with God. And that close walk with God, God brings us to a point where we can say, "Yes, Lord." And God is saying to us right now, to his people, we got to go and get them. Now, when Hitler decided to do what he did against the Jews because he hated the Jews, he learned he hated them. It's a known fact. We got the proof. The one in the White House, they hate black folks. They hate Mexicans. We got to shut the borders down. God has no borders. God said it's open. He said, "Come ye, come all ye unto me that labor and everywhere. Come to me." See, what we're saying tonight is, can we talk? It expresses. We get it out the anger. We get out the disappointment. We get it all out because we want to let somebody know we're not any better. We're just looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith. And the more we talk, the more we bring the reality of what's going on. Now, Kanye made a $100 million mistake, far as I'm concerned. When you're going to sit back and put me down as a black man on put me in the same category with you, they had a right to do what they did to him. Now look at the woman Esther in the Bible. She told a man, said, "Now, if I die, I'm going to die. But I, because of for the nation of Israel," she said, "I want you to pray for me, fast and pray." Because she knew, like we know today, something is wrong. So we got to stand up. And I want to pinpoint this by saying this. Jesus Christ through the hearts of all mankind. He knows our hearts right now. And he's saying to those that are listening to on this radio tonight, a lot of people going to miss the mark by going, not going to hell, they're going straight to hell because they want to do what they want to do. I find more of the young people, and I love them, I want a business. What kind of business? Well, what kind of education you got? But no, I got business ideas. What kind of business idea? Do you have a purpose, a plan? What do you have to make it move forward? Do you have investors? Do you have any person to put some money in what you're doing? See, it's more than just saying, I want to. You got to have a plan, a procedure. You got to walk through it. Sometimes, I know with the radio station, it was just that it took time. I got up, I fell down, I got up, but I kept believing God. And now I've got stabilized. I still have a trust in God. I cannot reach around the world on this radio station, an opportunity given to a lot of people that won't take it. Because if they say they don't know something, see, that's the problem we have. If you don't know something, go read up on it. Go look up on it. Take the word of God. It's all in the word. Every word we're talking about is in the Bible. Every word we're talking about is in the Bible. God has made us a promise. He cannot lie. But what happens, everybody wants to live a good life, but nobody wants to live a life for God. And living life for God, we got to stand up and speak the word to somebody. Get somebody to the point to understand. When God said it's a done deal, God said, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men, not some men, all men will come unto me. So today, can we talk? He's asking all men to come unto him. The door is wide open. I know what I was out there in my day and time messing around with the drugs. I thought a lot of money was out there. I made a lot of money, had a lot of money. Money is a stack, money, 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 money. But I found out one day, when I was leaving one place to another, I heard a man say, in German, my friend, I want all you got in your pockets. Every penny I had was in my pockets. And I just give it to him. I don't know why I did. I thought I was going to lose my life. He said, I want this on your back too. I was carrying 100 pounds of pure cocaine. Now, was that God get me set up? See, God sends a storm to set us up to get us right. He did back then. He's doing it right now. He sent his radio station to put somebody. He's sending a storm in somebody's life right now. He's doing it. But some people don't want to be a part of what they're saying. But I love them. What about you, sister? What about you, sister? Are you there? Are you there? Sister Esther, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. I can hear you. I see your number. I got you. I see you on the radio. Go ahead. My brother, anybody else? Anybody else?
I was saying,
Dr. Hunter, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just that I didn't know if you could hear me or not. Anyway, I want to just thank you for the radio talk show tonight. And I'm getting ready to go because I'm entering into my Sabbath. And I keep the Sabbath, and I know that's what God wants me to do. And I thank God for the participation. And when you don't know something, the best you can do is listen. God gave us ears to hear. And the next best tool you can use is the power of prayer. Prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer. Today was a day of prayer. Prayer changes things. And what I heard tonight, I know how to pray. When I go down on my knees tonight, I know how to pray. And as far as the young man, he's lost. The Bible say the gospel is only here to those who lost. So if he don't know where he come from, then he sure don't know where he's going. So that's all I have to say about everything tonight. I love you all, and I pray God's blessings upon all of you. Amen.
Amen. I have my grandson here. Go ahead and say something, grandson.
I was just saying that when Kanye said that, like he's all the way in the sunken place, like the sunken place. Like there's too much yes men around him to actually say that and think that's cool is out of line. It's out of line, like big time.
How's that out of line?
I mean, because, like, you saying slavery is good, it wasn't a choice for us, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't volunteer to say, you know what, I got a job offer for you, what it is, you want to go across the world and be a slave in a place called America? No, I mean, that's dumb and idiotic. The only person who had a choice really were white people, because by that time, they could have said, no, we don't want no slaves, let's build our country the right way. So, I mean, that's very dumb what Kanye said, and that's really what he is that he doesn't feel himself as being black. He feels himself more or less being the way OJ. Like OJ said, you know, I'm not black, I'm OJ. It's just it's Kanye saying, I'm not black, I'm Kanye, you know?
Now, explain that to me. What do you mean Kanye said, I'm not black, I'm just Kanye? What do you mean by that?
I'm referencing towards, like, OJ, what he said. I'm saying that, OJ, he got to a point where he so loved and the lifestyle he was living was different from all these people. He felt like he was, you know, like, a part of
the white society. What do you mean by that today in your life? What do you mean by that part of the white society today?
I mean, it's the same thing back then. I'm just saying that he doesn't see himself in the same matter or in the same light as, you know, black people of today. That's why, like, when the whole, people, Trayvon Martins and all the other kids against, now he wasn't saying nothing about it, because to him, he's like, I'm above that, you know, more or less he feels like he's above his race.
Okay, well, I understand, but also, how did we come equal to our race?
I mean, what do you mean come equal to your race?
The word you just said put some thoughts in my mind.
I'm saying that in his mindset, he doesn't feel like he's a black person who's so rich. He feels like he's above, like, his status, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how to tell you.
No, I know what you're making sense. You're making sense. But at the same time, how do we reach these young people? You don't tell us how to reach them.
That's a hard question to say. I don't be real, just try harder, you know, push stronger. I don't know what to tell you, really. People got their own mindsets.
Well, what about you being a part of what God has to offer us?
I mean, God has a plan for all of his kids, so I feel like, you know, you just got to find your path and, you know, keep moving forward. Don't, you know, falter. Don't try to, you know, mess with the plan. That's all I got to say.
Let me ask you this then. What about them receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Then, you know, that's them receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's up to them, and it's their choice if they want to receive Christ or not. I mean, I'm not going to put a gun to their head. If they don't want to do it, then that's on them. But if they want to do it, then all love and all peace, you know, come in open arms. You know, that's all I have to say to that.
Well, the young man, I got a man on the line with us. Talk to us. Are you there? Talk to us.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You heard what my grandson said. What do you think about what he said?
Cool. I'm listening very intently to what your grandson is saying, and I'm very appreciative for his thoughts and his insight coming from a young man, young black man, and not only in the United States but also in the South. Listening to his thoughts about Kanye and Kanye's position. I give that a lot of credibility. There's a lot of validity in his statements. The question that I have for the young man is, how do you believe Kanye's statements should be viewed as black people as a whole in this world? How do you think we should look at Mr. Kanye's statement?
I mean, I feel like we should look at his statement as being ignorant, very idiotic, and something that we should take not lightly, but we should really pay attention to this. Because, you know, I mean, it's to me, it's kind of like a what's the word? It's like it's a two-edged sword to me, but more or less it's like flipping a coin with Kanye. Because if you don't know it, Kanye has a album coming out. And, you know, some people are saying, well, he's just doing all this for trolling. You know, he's trying to make it where he gets publicity for his album.
Well, let's start right there. Let's address that. I'm glad you brought that point up. Because this is an excellent segue into the next question that I want to ask. Kanye, album release is coming up. Understanding that publicity, whether it's positive or negative, is going to drive people to his site, possibly buy his album, or do just bring him attention where he wasn't making any news. He's now making a lot of news. I understand how that could just amp up his album sales and all of that. The fact that Kanye, if that may be the case, and it's very well, it's a very strong possibility, because not only Kanye have done something like that, but other artists has done it over years, white, black, everyone in between. We've seen it. But how do you feel, you personally, or how should we feel that in order for him to amp up his album sales, that you would go and wear a cap that supports a racist president, a bigot president, and then make a statement about slavery being a choice just to sell records to the same people, mostly, or probably maybe 20, 30, 50% of his album sales will be African American people, that he would use this statement in order to boast up his name and time for an album release. How do you feel about him making us look the way he stated just to sell albums? How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, I'm going to break down 3 points. You said about how do you feel about him using this as a publicity stunt, how you feel about him using siding with Trump, and how you feel about his statements. I'll answer all three. Regarding towards the first statement, first question, sorry, I feel that is very, that's very wrong to do, to put history in the plight of your own people just to boost your financial gain is very horrible. It's just horrible. Like you're selling your own soul just for financial gain. I mean, it's very, that's something that should be beneath you. But you know, it's just, for me, it's crazy. Number two, for Donald Trump, you know, you can say that, you can say Kanye's grease slid off his biscuit. I don't know. It's some of this stuff I can't put words on. It's very idiotic. It's very wrong. It's dumbfounding. Third thing about him saying slavery was a choice. Now, you would have people on here like T.I. and all these other dudes, Charlamagne the God, saying, well, he couldn't articulate himself right. No, what you said is what you said. You know, you said slavery was a choice. You know, so that right there goes back to what I said about O.J. He don't feel like he's black anymore. He feels like he's Kanye. You know, he don't feel like, it's not a big issue to me. I can say this about slavery and whatnot. I get money and then I'm gonna move on. You know, if you base off his actions later on in the past when we were getting gunned down, people were, the police officers were getting off, he was quiet. He was crickets.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all it is just, it shows your character. And for me personally, it's very disheartening because I grew up listening to Kanye. I mean, I was back then when the song Jesus Walk, Touch the Sky, what's that? When It All Falls Down with Stacey Dash. And you know how Stacey Dash is right now. But, you know, I grew up with Kanye, you know, Graduation, 808 Heartbeat, you know, that was my guy. But to see this man just decaying and falling apart the way he is, it's disheartening. It shows that money can ruin a great man.
Amen. Well, let me ask my son-in-law, my grandson and his father, come here, Kevin, what you got to say?
So it's Kanye?
Yeah.
Well, I was told they ain't got nothing nice. You don't have nothing nice about anything at all. So I'm leaving him alone on that one. But it's again, like my son said, to to follow suit what he said. It's disheartening. I can't believe that he would say something like that. It goes again to how his perception of life. Sometimes you can have money like my son was saying, and you just forget to where you are immune to situations, but you understand you're still black. You're just black with money. And some people forget that. And I believe that he's forgotten. I understand saying slavery can be a mindset. I get all of it. The point here is you still have to understand your history. And you have to understand replication. Everything that you say and do, especially being in the limelight that you're in. Matter of fact, just being a father, I have to watch what I say because my sons can hear that. So if me just being an average Joe with sons, to think about a person as a celebrity. You got to be mindful of what you say. Everything has consequences.
Tell us what you think about that, sir. Talk to us.
Amen. Amen. I love what I'm hearing here. I know we're running near on time, but I have a question I would like to ask.
Okay.
Right here, right now, in light of the comment that was made, how do we all feel about the state of the black man in the United States at this time? Not just what Kanye said, but right now, from slavery to today, when we could hear something like this that comes out of a black man's mouth, what are we thinking as black men about our position in the United States at this time?
Wow, that's a good question. Can we talk? Can you help us?
Well, it's like this here. We as a black people, we used to be unified in a sense. Not only in communities, but also in thought. And we've gotten to the point where we became crabs in a bucket. And our thinking has also followed suit to where as long as my house is okay, I don't care about anyone else. And I see that in society. And I believe that attitude has spilled over to our children. Because I remember before growing up, if someone that knew my parents saw me acting up, they would get on me. And if they didn't do anything to me, they relayed a message to my parents, then they got on me. But nowadays, you don't touch my child, you don't talk to my child. You do your, you handle your business over there, I got my own thing. So it's not only for the black man, it's the black family all together.
Because
mm-hmm. sometimes we as men may not be in the homes with the children. So the mothers have a large role as well as the fathers. But black people as a whole, we've gotten away from our unity. And that's sad to say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one day I was getting gas, and I'm not trying to start no stereotypical type thing mm-hmm. going. But a Hispanic guy was asking for some money. And I said, I didn't have any change, which I didn't. And a Hispanic lady walked up to me while I was walking inside the station. And she said, he did ask you for some money? I said, yeah. She said, well, he can get any kind of job he wants. She said, because Hispanics take care of their own. And I heard her say that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that instance, I can look and see that being prevalent out here in our society. But for as we take care of our own, I don't see that. I see glimmers of hope, like Hansel and Gretel. I see breadcrumbs of where it's there, here and there. But overall, oh, you do your thing, I do mine. And don't bother me. You don't scream, I won't holler.
Praise God. We got about 4 minutes left. Go ahead, my brother, and finish it out.
You know, gentlemen, I've heard a lot tonight, and I'm appreciative of everything that was said, especially the young man that was there and the father and the young ladies that were on the panel and calling mm-hmm. in and speaking. You know, as a black man in this country who was raised in the South my entire life, it's difficult for me to have confidence in certain areas of my society and my community. I have two sons, one in his mid-20s, another in 11 years old. And one day we were out and we were walking. He was about 9 years old, and we saw this police officer. And I have some friends and some family that are police officers, so this is not against police officers. And this police officer saw my son, and my son looked at him and became instantly nervous with this police officer. And the police officer walked up to him and said, "Hey, don't be nervous. I'm your friend. I'm a good guy. If you ever need any help, go find a police officer, and he will help you." I couldn't embrace or agree with that statement coming from the police officer, because I have not experienced that with law enforcement. I have experienced it with law enforcement that know me, that became friends with me, but as a whole, I don't have that confidence. So I could not import that to my son, honestly. Now, that's the way it should be, but that's not the way it is. And when we understand that, the reason why this statement requires our 100% undivided attention, because what he said is the way it is in the minds of many people that are not black in this country. They treat us the way he spoke. What he thinks and what he said is a lot of what is reflected in the treatment of black people in this country. They believe our problems are our choice. They believe what we go through is our choice. Where we came from is our choice. And the condition that we're in our neighborhood, in our lives, in our social standing, they believe it is our choice. And it is not. It is not just our choice.
We just got a new person come on the line. You got a question, sir? You got a question, sir? A new person just come on the line. You got a question, sir? Can we talk? Hello? Hello?
Dr. Hunter, this is Pastor Z. I'm on mute.
That's all right. No, don't be on me. Go on, let's talk. Come on, let's talk. Come on. It's the Dota Pro. Can we talk?
Hi, everyone. What is the topic tonight?
Go ahead, my brother, and tell us.
The topic tonight was the comment that Mr. Kanye West made about slavery being a choice for black people in this country. And we were all discussing what our views and opinion is about that statement.
Well, I think a lot, well, I know for a fact that the people that are in Hollywood and they have this star status, they're out of touch with reality, period. You know, they just out of touch with reality. For him to make a statement like that, that statement was made out of ignorance. And not that he didn't know, but I think as the more money they make and they begin to just lose touch with reality. So my opinion on that statement, I believe it's out of ignorance. He just lost touch of reality, because it's not a choice. You know, some people do choose to live in their condition, and then some are not educated. They don't, you know, they need to be educated on certain things, because a lot of things have been taken and removed from the schools. When we were coming up, we had homemaking. And these kids today, I mean, they don't even know how to manage a house. So a lot of things, and then at home, it starts at home. You know, they said that we have removed God from the school, but what about God in the home? Charity starts at home. You know, if they don't get it at home, You know, it's not the teacher's responsibility to give them that when they get to the school. So they need to put God back into the home. But, and I heard it was saying him, someone speaking on police brutality. You know, Dr. Hunter, he knows me, and I experienced it myself. You know, I was a hard-working single mother. I got stopped, and it was a female officer, and she asked me to step out the car and threw me against the car and put me in handcuffs before she even could ask. She didn't even ask me for my driver's license or anything.
Mm. Wow.
And, yeah, and it was just like, it was a, you know, it, for me it was a scary situation because I was just driving probably home from work most likely. And then she just, only thing, she didn't say she was sorry. She didn't say anything. She just said wrong person. You know, I pay taxes and I work. Why would you not even get asked for my driver's license or anything and just take me, you know, ask me to step out of the car and then throw me against the car and then put me in handcuffs? So it's just, you know, that the bad cops make the good cops, makes it bad for those that have good intentions and good motives.
But also, Pastor, this, as we were talking tonight, we found out, because it burned my heart to what you said is happening at the school, and it's about the children, the generations. It's about them being put in jail. Can you tell us about that, please?
Well, I know I've heard over the last, and then back on slavery, I'm going to answer that question. My kids went to the Humble School District. This was before different, like the Hispanics and more, it wasn't very many blacks at the time when I raised my children, and they all, you know, my boys went to Humble School District. They have very little black history. You know, it's very little of black history is taught. You know, something I had to teach them, because I said, well, what, you know, what as far as history, what are they teaching you? What do you know about black history? And he, well, my older son, he told me, he said, well, they do a, you know, a little this or whatever. But as me as a parent, I took it on, you know, it's my responsibility. If they're not going to teach them what they should be, but as a parent's responsibility, the parent, you know, should be responsible as well. You know, you shouldn't depend on the world to teach your kids these things that they need to know in life. You know, they need to know where they need to know where they come from in order to know where they're going. But we were talking earlier, and I noticed over the last few years, you know, we were coming in school, you know, we went to detention, we got popped, you know, they don't pop children anymore. And then we either get suspended or, you know, and then that'll be that. And if we have any other issues, then, you know, our parents at the time were more concerning. But most of these kids, they have adult issues and they're raising themselves. And I had brought to the prayer line earlier that is so disturbing that the courthouses and court is full of students because they're being citated and they're being fined. And it's all about money. Why would a child and why would a parent have to take off and go to court? It's all about money. That is crazy. I mean, the courthouse, it's like if you go in there for a ticket, if you ever just take out time and just go to the Harris County Court in the evening time, it is ridiculous. There's not even room to sit or stand because they're full of students. They're citating these. They're fining these students, and the parents have to take off. And if there are parents in there, like such as myself, I was a single parent, if I take off, I don't get paid. And then someone said something.
No, but no, go ahead.
Okay, and so the courts are full, and that is crazy. That is ridiculous. You know, they're taking money from the parents, and then they're finding like they're criminals. It's just like they're setting them up for failure. And this friend of mine, and it probably be on the news, and I'm going to support her 100%. But her nephew was on the news the other day. I haven't been looking at the news the last few days. And she said that her nephew was arrested for, I don't know if he touched the teacher or hit the teacher or pushed the teacher down, and they had it on the news. So they showed what happened on the news. But what they failed to do, they didn't show what the teacher done to him. The teacher tried to, they didn't show that part. So that's what they are protesting. They had gotten an attorney, and then they put this child in jail, you know, like jail. And these are children, they still children. And this is something that is going to go, they're trying to set them up for failure and put these things on their record. Instead of, if it is a behavior problem, but the first thing they want to medicate these children. And most of the time, it's not a spiritual thing. Sometimes it's just a behavioral thing where they might need medication or they need some type of counseling. But they want to medicate these kids. They want to diagnose them as ADD or whatever, and then they want to put them in jail, like adult jail. And they put this little boy in jail, but they didn't show that this woman stood over him and called him out of his name and told him what he wasn't going to be and then try to physically push him and lift him up and push him out of his chair. That provoked him. She had no business putting, number one, her hands on him, on this child. See, they didn't show that part. But they're working on the next couple of days. They're gonna demand that the school district release the whole taping. And this young man supposed to graduate. So these things that they're citating or they're fining the child, it goes on their record as a felony, or it goes on their record, and it's just like, you know, everyone on the line knows when you get a stain on your record, it stays there with you for a while. And these kids are trying to get in college. They're trying to get jobs. You know, a lot of them, all children are not bad. All children don't wear their pants down to their knees or however. And even so, it's us, as the body of Christ, it's up to us to just seek the Lord and find out how can we minister to these babies, because they're just, somebody just
needs
to, we just need to take our time with them.
Well, let me ask you this.
Dr. Hunter, if I can get in for 1 second, do you mind?
Go ahead.
You know what I'm hearing and what happened with the young man in school and what we're talking about tonight, about the statement about slavery and racism, what... You made a very valid point, ma'am, that these are young people. These are still children. And I grew up in the South. I lived in suburbia. I lived in the inner city. I lived in the project as a kid. And I've seen different classes. That's the point that I'm making here. Our young people walk around with their pants hanging down off their butts and down to their knees. And frankly, I think it's one of the most atrocious looking things I've ever seen. I have no idea the sensibility or the mentality of an individual who wants to do that. It just goes beyond conscious thought. It's just ridiculous, embarrassing even. Even when I see it as a black man, to see another black person walking around looking like that, a black man looking like that, it just blows my mind. What makes it worse is when I see a young black woman with a man who's walking around like that. I'm like, goodness, that just don't make any sense. Why is she, why does she not want more than that? And what tells her that that's acceptable? But having said that, about our young black men, and some of them are actually older, too, who should really know better, in their 20s, and I've seen some men in their 30s dress that way. It doesn't make sense. But at the same time, in suburbia, they shave the side of their heads and go get mohawks and put piercings everywhere and put spike bracelets and these long black coats and these boots on, and they put skulls all around their necks and they do all of that stuff. And you see them walking around the street just as readily as we see our young black men. And you go get it. You know, you go get the Hispanics, and they do their white T-shirts with their Dickies on and their plaid shirts, and they do their mohawks, and they tattoo their faces. And I mean, all these are young people, and that's how they express themselves. But at some point, when they grow older, it tends to be the African-American and the Hispanic are the ones who get the felonies. The Caucasians, they don't seem to mess with them too much. They don't seem to imprison them too much. And you don't see them getting the type of records that stop them from going to colleges or getting good jobs after they go through their young man phase. And we have to understand that whatever the young man's phase is, our people should be able to rebound from the young man's phase and still have a quality life. They're just not letting our kids get there on the majority level. It's just not happening. And we have to stand up to the statement that was made, because an indifferent opinion about that statement, and I'm not saying anyone here has one, but an indifferent opinion about that statement allows them to keep doing what they're doing to our young people. And if they take out our young people, then we have no one to grow and bring us to a better day in the United States of America. It's just not going to happen.
I want to say the young Caucasian with the long coats, and they wear this black lipstick that's called gothic. And their children are the ones that's going in shooting up and killing and blowing up and, you know, blowing with these bombs and, you know, and it's ironic, and it's just, I'm just at awe in the last couple of months how these kids are, all they do is handcuff them. Nobody's being, you know, ruffled up like they're beating on when they apprehend our children and our black men and even the women. You know, they want to stun gun them. They want to beat them when they get them down. And that's just horrific. That is horrible. That is horrible. And their children are going in and it just, oh, he has psychological problems. You know, he's on a suicide watch. We're gonna watch, and it's just unbelievable. It's just sad, but I think we as individuals, as the body of Christ, what I've done, I have started a ministry with Children of Promise with Purpose. And most of the kids that I have are children that the parents, number one, don't bring them to church. And those, you know, they're raised up, they're from the projects or whatever. It's mainly young women and young men, the ones that I do have. And to teach them, you know, teach them their self-worth. Teach them they deserve more than someone wearing their pants all the way down and hanging out on a corner and, you know, and and have no goals, have no morals, no nothing. And just to teach them that they're worth more, that they need get your education. Focus, you know, let God be your center of your life. If you get them when, you know, once they get at a, like at a certain age, it, I mean, you know, prayer changes things, but it's difficult when they get to a certain age because you were saying, like, you said something in the 30s. I've seen some men, I know they were well off in their 50 and 60. They were about maybe my age. The 50 and 60s wearing their pants all the way down like that. That's just, I just hate to, me as a woman, I just hate to see that. It just does something to me.
Pauline.
Sir?
Okay, go ahead. One thing, let me do this here. There's a lady just called us, and she's been asking for prayer. She's going to come on the line after in a few minutes. But I'm telling them what we're talking about. See, a lot of people call me wanting prayer, but I thank God for tonight. What we're doing, we're talking about a lot of issues. Can we talk? Now, a lot of people, Pastor Z, to my brother, to what we're doing tonight, I know that we're going to have some real issues. There are a lot of issues going on right now in the world we live in right now. As Brother Gregory says, touching the past, changing the future. That's what we want to do. Now, I will say this with much love in my heart to everybody. If you're on the line right now, we're going to start praying for you. But if you're not on the line, I'm going to wait. I'm going to go back to just put you on hold. Because I want to hear what the Pastor Z was saying. Pastor Z, Clark, what were you really saying more than anything else? Praise God.
It's heartbreaking to me when I see young men like that. It's heartbreaking. You know, it's no guarantee that you're going to get a response. But, I mean, just if we just take our time, you know, people just walk past these children and then some of them are so disrespectful, you know. They're so disrespectful. But I find that dealing and working with children, you know, I had children as young as 10 years old used to come to practice, and we had, like, choir practice, and then we would give them the word and have pizza and then, you know, just let them talk about whatever they want to talk about. Let them talk about whatever's on your mind, whatever you deal with, whatever you want to talk about. You know, it's going to stay right here. And they would come in as young as 10 years old smelling like marijuana. And I let them know, hey, I know what that smell is. I say, and I talk to them. I say, you might be doing it now. I say, but later you're going to want, if you like nice things and you want to go out and try to get a job, because eventually this is going to, it's going to take over your mind, and it's just going to mess up your thinking. And it's going to have an effect on you. So then you're going to have other issues. And I say, if you want to get a good job, I say sometimes these, at the time, you know, it's 10 years old, and then you get numb to it, and you want to get another high, you want to try something different. And then I had them as young as 9 and drinking. And their parents let them drink. So what, you know, when we get them, only thing we can do is pray for them and tell them and put them on the right path and tell them that if nobody loves you, you feel that nobody loves you. If you ever feel God loves you and I love you, and you're going to be something in life.
Amen. Pastor Z, since you're a mother and you're a pastor, the woman that's asking for prayer, she wants a silent. There's a lot of things that are going on in her life, and a good friend of mine, and I asked her, so I promised her If she come on, we're going to pray for her. Can you start praying for her? It's a need for sons and the mood into the next level. Can you do that for us, Pastor Z? Can help? Can you do that?
Yes, sir. She's on the line now.
Yes, ma'am. She's on the line now.
Okay. And she is an unspoken prayer request?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Father gracious God, we thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for this fellowship. We thank you for each and every person that is on this line right
thank
now in
you.
The name of Jesus, God. Heavenly Father God, we know, Heavenly Father, that without deliverance, without healing, Heavenly Father God, we must repent before you. God, we ask that you create in us a clean heart and renewing us the right spirit. God, if anything that invades your space that is on the inside of us, we ask that you cleanse us, God, because, God, you're a perfect gentleman. You don't force your love. You don't force your word, Heavenly Father, upon us. But, God, we give you permission on tonight to cleanse our heart, cleanse us on today so we can come before your throne of grace. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke, oh, Heavenly Father, God. We lift up this young lady right now in the name of Jesus. God, you know every numbered hair on her head. You know you knew her before she entered into her mother's womb. You know the things, that the challenges and the situations and circumstances that she faced right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father God, not for you to remove her out of the situation, but to give her wisdom while she's in the situation, God. Oh, Heavenly Father God, because our trials and our tribulations are to come up on us, to give us strength and to draw us closer to you, Heavenly Father God. God, you say that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger he will not follow, God. Let her recognize your voice, Heavenly Father God, in a time of need, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father God, let her seek your face, Heavenly Father God. Oh, God, in the midst of her storm, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Whatever, God, that you're trying to reveal and uncover, God, Heavenly Father God, give her wisdom, give her strength, God, to continue on, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, and we ask that you meet her need, Heavenly Father God. Whatever the need may be, Heavenly Father God, on tonight, that it is met, Heavenly Father God. Oh, God, and we thank you, Heavenly Father God, as her outcome. We thank you, God, for the doors that you're about to open in her life. We thank you, God, for the doors that you have closed in her life, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, according to your word, that no weapons form against us. It may form, but it will not prosper. Oh, God, and we just thank you for the word, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father God, place in her spirit the 121st song, that she will lift up her eyes up unto the hills from which come her help, her help coming from the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father God, to let her know, God, that the lowest place is the best place where she can hear your voice, God, that she can follow your instructions, Heavenly Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father God, and we give her strength and wisdom to deal with family members and to deal with children, Heavenly Father God, and to look beyond the faults of others, God, and to see the need on tonight. Give her that spiritual discernment, God, to look beyond the faults and to see the needs in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for the woman of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, for her highs, and we thank you for her lows. You say that you'll never leave her nor forsake her, God, or in the name of Jesus. That she is more than a conqueror. She's the head and not the tail. She's above and not beneath. She is the lender and not the borrower. She is more than a conqueror, Heavenly Father, through Christ Jesus. You say she is fearfully and wonderfully made. Let her know her worth. Let her know, God, that who she is and whom she belongs to. Oh, God, and we just thank you, Heavenly Father, God. We just give you praises, God, and we just give you all the glory, God, because you're the creator of all creation, God, the most high and the most powerful, God. It is nothing that you can't change, God, at a fraction of a second. But Heavenly Father, God, let her know, Heavenly Father, God, to give her peace that surpasses all understanding. God, let her get rest on tonight. She done had some sleepless nights, but let her get some rest on tonight. Oh, I speak it through the Holy Spirit in the atmosphere that she will be at peace, that all is well, Heavenly Father God, on tonight. Oh, God, and we just thank you, Heavenly Father God, and we decree and we declare that every word will go forth into the heavens and it will not come back void, that victory is hers. Victory of those that, God, that is on this line right now, those that are going through something, Heavenly Father God, let them know that they are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And we just thank you for it, God. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. And the people of God say amen.
Amen. And also I want to also invoke in the prayer, she has a son that's entered into the draft for the Super Bowl. I mean, for the Super Bowl, and I want us to pray that what the enemy is trying to take from him this night, Father, is the consistency of availability. But I declare and decree right now, in the name of Jesus, that every muscle in every one of those young people's bodies is now being soothed by the Holy Spirit. Because as it said, Father and Pastor, she said, all her highs and her lows, we pray this night. Because it's a young black man that we've been talking about tonight. Here's a perfect example for us, Father. A man of color, a man of stature, a young man that wants to be somebody. And Father, we just declare tonight that his body, on the sides where the pain is, we just believe right now that pain will subside. Every muscle will straighten up. Every thought process will move forward. We take authority tonight in the name of Jesus. You said if two touch and agree, it shall be done. We touch and agree. We touch and agree. Not only for those young men, for all the mothers and all the young men tonight. And then, Father, I want to thank you for the program, Can We Talk? It was such a time as this, Father, that we call on your name right now. But we know your words, see, and we say to the young man, we speak to him these words, Jeremiah. He said these words. He said, young man, I know the thoughts that I have for you. It's thoughts for you not to put you down. It's thoughts to pick you up. It's thoughts to make you prosper. No matter what somebody on the other team has said in their breath, you will be who you're supposed to be. God, use this young man. Use these young men to bring and glorify your name, Father. And then, Father, there are many more on the scene, behind the scene. I pray this day in the name of Jesus that you will just bless them, call the fullness of the Holy Ghost upon their lives. I want to thank you for our brother online with us also. We praise you. We love you. Because can we talk? And then, Father, because there are many issues that we will see in our time. When Kanye made a mistake, it was a put down. But we want to lift him up in prayer. Want to bring him to a point of repentance that he can take the $100 million and spreading it out. You can see what God can do. And then, Father, because we thank you, it's in our prayer tonight. We all touch and agree. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Now, I want to thank you for listening. Stay on the line, just listen. But we know what God is going to do. We see it happen. Amen. Hey, brother, you still with us? Brother, you still with us?
Amen.
Amen. See how God operates this thing tonight? Here's a young man we've been talking about. And see, hallelujah. see what God is doing. A lot of these mothers are going through some changes right now. They birthed these children. They know what they're going through. They don't see them watching. Amen. Okay, brother, go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Dr. Hunter, I tell you, this is an amazing move of God. And God's blessing is pouring all over the people. And I would just like to say this pastor that was on the line, still on the line, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for the young lady, the mother, and her son. Thank you for your words tonight, words that not only blessed me, but everyone in the hearing. I just thank you for your faithfulness and your commitment to the truth, the true word of God. And if you stay right there, as the word of God says, men will see that we are the disciples of God by the love we show. And I just thank everyone for being on the call. Thank Dr. Hunter for praying for Mr. West. The gentleman made a statement that outraged the nation, but we can't forget that Jesus Christ goes after the one, and he will leave the 99 to go get the one. And we can't forget about the one. We have to pray for the one. We have to lift up the one, because that's what our Lord and Savior has shown us to do. And we lift up the brother, and we're not angry with you. We want to help you, and we're going to help you through prayer, because that's the only thing that still works in this world, that is consistent, and that will never fail. And we thank God for you and the opportunity to bring the light, what many won't say, that you did say. And we thank you right now for bringing it to the surface so God can address it. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I want everybody to know, if anybody else don't have a question to say, anybody else got a statement they want to make? Any questions they want to ask? Some statements? The line is still open. Come on, let's talk. Can we talk? Can we talk?
Dr. Hunter, I'm about to exit the line, but I just want to say that I'm glad that the man of God said that we still have to pray for these people, even though this young man, even though he's in Hollywood and he deals with mental issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to realize is the body of Christ, everything is not a spirit. Some things are chemical. Some people have behavior problems. And everything is not a spirit, but this young man, he deals with mental issues. He up one day, and then he's down the next day. So he definitely requires prayer. Even these people that commit these crimes and these officers that do the police, you know, act out in the police brutality. You know, they require prayer, because there's just something going on in someone's, in their world, for them to mistreat or hurt someone. You know, these people require prayer too. So that is just so true. But this Kanye, he deals with he has some type of chemical imbalance. So he deals with some things, some issues himself. So I'm glad that that was brought out, that it's a focus on to pray for him as well. Amen.
Amen. Well,
amen.
Amen. Well, you know, every so often we got this program, Can We Talk, on KESC radio station, and we're pressing the button because we want to reach the unreached and tell the untold. The more we get busy with God, the more God gets busy with us. And God has said to me, he says, all we do sometimes is complain, complain, complain. And as I was doing a study and reading the books, God said to me, he said, give me something to work with. Give me something to work with. I said, give me something to work with. He said this, give me back my word. I'll start giving him more now, giving him back his word. And I'm seeing some things happening. beyond my understanding. All I can do is thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So until that time, God bless
amen.
You tonight, and peace be with you now.
Amen.
Amen.